Pass the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I got to confess to you that this show gets stressful for me in a really, really good kind of way. But it's really, really, I was before I came down, see, I've been up quite an hour and a half doing show research and prep and stuff like that. And I walked into our bedroom, went in to change my shirt, get ready for the show. And I did one of those. When I walked into the bedroom and my wife said, "What's the matter?" And I just stopped for a minute. I thought, there isn't anything the matter. The stress is this. I have so much to share. And how am I going to do it? That's the stress when I go in. Joe says 2 hours. oh my goodness. And it's stressful because one of the things I really, really try very hard to do here, and hopefully this is kind of unique in shows that are similar to what we do here, is I try to mix. Listen, if you leave this show today and all you get is information about what's going on in the world, then I've been a failure. And if you leave this show and all you got was the Bible, then I've been a failure. Now, not that you're ever a failure with the Bible or ever a failure with information, but what we pride ourselves on here is bringing the two together. What's going on with the world and what's going on in the spiritual realm that's creating it to happen. And it's a really, it's a pleasant kind of strife, but I gotta tell you, there's strife to it, man. There's strife to it. And I came to the realization this morning, as I'm coming down the steps, and I have a lot of you say to me, "Coach, this is my church and you're my pastor." And I receive that in the spirit that it's given. But I want you to know this. I have no desire to be a pastor. I don't have any desire to be one. And I would say this. If you want to say, "Coach, you're my teacher," or "You're my coach," I can live with that. Dan Bukowski, good to hear from you, Dan. I can live with that. But can I tell you this? I'm sorry. I don't have one to be called pastor. I think that term has become so bastardized. I don't want anybody to ever say that about me. And I have a tendency, we go someplace and people introduce me as Pastor Dave. I said, "Listen, don't do that again. Don't do that again. I am not a pastor. Stop it. I'm a coach. Why can't you just call me coach?" It's pretty simple, isn't it? Because we got grained into our head that the only expert in the entire religious world is the pastor. Now, no man deserves that pressure. No pastor deserves that pressure. And a lot of what's going on in the pastorate is the pastors have become the womanized, sissified men that they are. Because why? Because of what we're asking them to do. We're asking them to be mother. We're asking them to be father. We're asking them to be nursemaid. We're asking them to be doctor. We're asking them to do all these things. And what did Jesus Christ himself say? "Heal yourself," right? I don't mean to yell. I was listening to my show yesterday. Man, I yell a lot. Heal yourself. Heal yourself. That's what Christianity is about. Why do you need to go be spoon-fed every Sunday by a guy who's just a man? What is with us and this mentality that we have? So I love coming in here every morning because you guys are free to be you. And I'm not afraid to say, "Hey, coach, what do you think about this?" I'm not afraid to say, "I don't know. Ask Silver. I don't know. Ask Trump. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm working on my own salvation with fear and trembling." So I get up this morning and I start running down through the stuff. Said, "Oh, my goodness, Lord." So Lord, what am I going to talk about today? Lord, I'm not into entertainment. I pray our show's entertaining, but if you're just watching this because of entertainment. Boy, have I dropped the ball. So, man, a lot of stuff going on. I go to the Air Force conference this weekend. Dr. Mike Spaulding, God bless Mike Spaulding. Good pastor, teacher. That's this weekend in just south north. It's north of Dayton. I'll be there. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's going to get a chance to meet her up front. I don't even know where Dr. Mike is as far as his ticket sales and all that stuff, but I'm going to be there. Great time of fellowship. If you're close, you ought to try to get there. All right? Cool. Michael Lake's here. I guess I didn't realize Dr. Lake's there. I love Michael Lake. I mean, as a person, I love Michael. Not that I don't love Jamie Walton. Not that I really love Dr. Michael Lake. So be good to see him. And so much to dive into. I want to try to piggyback a little bit on yesterday on the spirit of fear. I want to take you someplace with that as well. So bear with me this morning as we jump into the deep end and try to enlighten you a little bit to where we are, the times we're in, and what it is that we're supposed to be able to do. Dennis Bates got his hands up already. Come on in, Dennis.
Yes, Coach. Just commenting on your earlier comment about what to talk about today. If you're needing content, I just posted an article, Pedophile Park. This is Dennis Bates, by the way. You and I stood Capitol Building, Trump, downtown Columbus, Ohio. I've come up and spoke to you briefly. I used to go over to John Freshwater's for the...
I know you are now.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Uh-huh. I'm gonna pull out.
Okay, bye. Thanks, Dennis.
You're welcome.
Also, hey, folks, also, God bless... I'm a sky high all day yesterday. I pulled weeds. I did all kinds. So I didn't get a chance. I want you guys to understand this. I appreciate every video you send me. I really do. And I do the best I can to watch as many of them as I can. And that's the hardest part of what I do, the sifting, just to get a good video and say, okay, Lord, how can I play this in relationship to what we're talking about today, and in relationship to the vein the Holy Spirit has it in? How do I plug this in here? So I don't always respond that I watched the video, that I got the video. I do a lot of them double time. I just have to. And if something really tweaks me, then I go back and slow it down. So you continue to send them. If you don't hear from me, doesn't mean I don't like you. Doesn't mean any of that kind of stuff. Okay, a couple of things right off the top of the bat that were really pretty good. Let me throw these things. First of all, put the Carlos. It says Carlos vid. Carlos vid. Throw that up there for me, Spencer. Carlos and Annette are Salt and Light Brigade folks out in California. Remember, Carlos got sucker punched. They went to the workout center, about the tranny going in there naked. Carlos showed them, got sucker punched. Carlos and Annette. I just got to folks, I want you to watch just how insidious and evil the left is. Okay. Now, this is a press conference. These people, these Antifa people, are the ones who sucker punched Carlos, did all that kind of stuff. We're only going to watch about a minute of this because I couldn't hardly stand it. This press conference regarding attorneys announce a lawsuit against the LAPD over alleged attacks on protesters outside of the White House. We saw what happened, right? We saw what happened here. This is the propaganda. This is the devil. This is how the devil plays. Go ahead and just play about a minute of it.
Did it stop them? What's going on here? What's going on in America? Don't they see what's going on across the world? Don't they see that it's improper to allow white supremacists to beat people? They're supposed to serve and protect. Except they're beating and maiming our own community.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Christian Contreras, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, Contreras, C-O-N-T-R-E-R-A-S. I am one of the attorneys.
Freeze. I want you to make sure that you see this. Standing behind them are four women. Four women, right? And a guy on a crutch. Go ahead.
At least 10 different claimants who were protesting at WeSpa and were attacked by deadly projectiles and also almost killed by white supremacists who were ordering LAPD to violate not only the Fourth Amendment rights of our clients, but also the First Amendment rights of our clients. What we saw at the WISPA protest were atrocious human rights violations committed by LAPD. Atrocious human rights violations committed in a first world country. This is the type of stuff you see in third world countries, but we saw it here in Los Angeles, California. So we're taking legal action because LAPD refuses to follow the law. LAPD refuses to protect the human rights of individuals, and LAPD is taking orders from white supremacists. So today here, we have three different individuals who were
victims. Okay, you can stop there. I'll put this in the chat if you want to watch. White supremacists. You get it, folks? Now, I'm telling you, you can swallow this or you cannot swallow this. The battle in America is over white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Do you understand this? Tell me that you're seeing what's going on. And one of the things that they make sure they can do is shut your mouth as a white man that you can't protest. You're not even allowed to vocalize it. That's what's going on. Because why? Seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. Look at me. The devil hates Christ. And he hates Christ's people. You understand? You understand? We try to call a press conference, think we can get a press conference like that. Probably not. Now, are you sitting down for this? And go to the next one. Go to predictive programming. I don't know who sent this to me. Off the top of my head, I don't remember. This is incredible. This is an old 1930 cartoon detailing how to take over the world. Now, some of this has to be read because they hold up captions, signs, and that kind of stuff. This is 2 minutes. This is 1930s, and they're talking about vaccinations in 1930. Go ahead and play that. How to take over the world. This is the plan. Introduce a weaponized influenza. Flood newspapers and radios with death. Shut down shops and churches. By the way, folks, pause a second. It's hard for you to say, but that voice in the background is talking about make sure you're putting on your mask. Masks must be worn. That's what he's saying in the background. Go ahead. Use law enforcement to stifle dissent. Parade the sick and the dead. They all got masks on. Remember to put your mask on. Inject a vaccine to stifle and euthanize the old. Here they are getting their shots. 1933. The people who own the banks now own the hospitals. This is their plan. To own you. 1933. Remember, this is a thing called predictive programming, right, folks? Huh? From what I understand, in the Luciferian world, their idea of honor is they must tell you what they're getting ready to do to you. Amazing. I got a lot of good stuff to show you here today, okay? Let me give you one more here. Another video, it says Bradley. Bradley Dean makes great, great videos. And Bradley made another great video. I'm using this as a jump-off point, okay? I'm going somewhere, as I always say. I'm going somewhere today. So Bradley Dean made this video. It's about, I think it's about 6 minutes. Maybe you can put it 1.25 spins. I think that would probably work okay. Save us a little bit of time because it's 6 minutes, a long time to watch a video. Great job by Bradley. Go ahead and play it.
Glorifying the devil through the fallen? In Matthew 4:9, it tells us, "In all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Now, friends, recently while preaching in New Hall in Temecula, California, we had a day off before coming home, so we decided to spend it on a little island right off the coast across from San Diego called Coronado. In doing so, it was late and we were all hungry, so we went out and grabbed some pizza. When we walked into the little pizzeria, we noticed a couple of big posters with the likes of Al Capone, you know, Scarface, who said that he built his organization upon fear. Capone was responsible for crimes such as murder, bootlegging, tax evasion, and so on and so forth. Capone's gang was also responsible for the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, and knowing all of this, in 1959, they even make a movie about his life. Oh, how the devil must be pleased when he can find one that he can channel through. Another poster in this pizza joint was of a smiling Benjamin Bugsy Siegel. Bugsy was responsible for ruthless assassinations, bootleggings, gamblings, extortions, and again, so on and so forth. Now, as I'm looking up at these posters, I shared with my family how the enemy of men's souls would have it so. Because again, scripture tells us that in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, just like that of his subordinates that emulate their deluding and slavish master. Now look at the average politician of the day, nothing short of a bunch of Judases selling out everyone and anyone to the highest bidders. Just ask them. The mainstream media takes these lowlifes, these debased political criminals, the debauched, morally harmful reprobates, and puts them in front of the camera every step and the microphones to their mouths on every word uttered, as if to suggest that they are some sort of standard in which we are to complicitly be subjected. This is the devil attempting to take precedent, and nothing more, all eyes on him. This is only set up to dumb down the population by showing them what they are willing to put up with and to lower the standard and expectation of their representatives, regardless of what capacity. Now, case in point, this is why we have a political system in place today that runs in contrast and antithetical to American government. With the music industry and that which Hollywood loves to glorify when it comes to what God clearly condemns, for example, sexual immoralities, dishonoring parents, drug use, murder, theft, and in short, they promote Satanism and the devil puts them up for it. Socrates said, "Let me write the music of a nation. I care not for who writes its laws, for I will control its people." Interesting. It's not just the world that I'm speaking of that is guilty of this, friends. Look to the church in America where we have the false prophets and the heretics. The world speaks well of them, and at every given turn, we have these mouthpieces like that of the Kenneth Coltons of the world, the lunacies of Pat Robertson, to the alien from another planet, Rob Bell, to the heresies of Joel Osteen, who the enemy has in full subjection in yielding themselves to pervert the word of the Lord. The world puts these up as the preachers of the unadulterated word of God, but nothing could be further from the truth. But the Lord's people would have it so. They heap up teachers to itch their itching ears. Now, this all goes back to, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Many fall in line and give themselves to the enemy of their souls and give way and yield to his deceptions. Yet Jesus is to whom we are to emulate. And I ask, how did Jesus respond to the devil's temptations? "Then saith Jesus unto them, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Yet if Americans will not obey the Lord in following him and him alone, then they will eat the fruit of their own ways. Satan has been busy imitating and mocking the Lord for a long time, folks. Yet the Lord's resolve is sure to them and to his followers. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." You would think that with 86% of the American people claiming to belong to Christ, the wicked, which are those who know to do the right but do it not, would not have a chance on this earth to glorify themselves. Yet, for some reason or another, the opposite is true.
There you go. He nailed it, folks. And pardon me. The evil's crept into the church. Churches have become entertainment centers. And guys like Kenneth Copeland, God, hey, I don't know Kenneth Copeland's heart. You don't either, right? But we know this. People chase after Kenneth Copeland because they chase after, I hate to say this, they're chasing after their own blessing. You understand that? When you go to Kenneth Copeland, you go to get, I'm not against healing. Praise God for healing. But you go to Kenneth Copeland for a healing service. I don't mean to just use his name. And praise him. Okay, I heard that, Lord. What does it mean to praise the Lord? What does it mean to present your body a living sacrifice? What does it mean to go to church, engage in praise and worship? Okay. What does praise and worship look like outside of church? Does anybody help me with that? What does praise and worship look like outside of church? So when I'm out on the street and I'm at the Planned Parenthood with Mike Blake or whoever we're there with, we ought to be telling people, they say, what are you doing here? Say, we're engaging in praise and worship. We're engaging in praise and worship. My wife gets up in the morning and I tell her how much I love her. I've told you guys all that and everything like that. But you know what really makes her, what really winds her clock? She gets up in the morning and the dishes are done. Gets up in the morning and the dishes have been put away. She says, man, when you do that, I really know you love me. And I don't sit in my chair and say, oh, I love you, Michelle. You just, yeah. She gets sick and tired of hearing that stuff. And I'm not against praise and worship in church, but at what point do you take it out of the daggone church, out into the world? When do we do that? When do you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service? Now, one of the newer translations says act of worship. Presenting your body is praise and worship. Not waving flags and dancing in church to music that makes you feel good. All right. Hey, I'm for all that. I'm going to tell you something. When a crisis comes into our life, if a crisis comes into our life, I run to the altar. I run to the Lord. I run to the Lord. I don't run to a pastor, although I hope a pastor prays for me. I'll go and share with a pastor, but my hope isn't in my pastor. Because I'm going to tell you this, I know a lot of them, and they're just people. They're just people. And so people want to say, they call, as I said earlier, Pastor Dave. Well, I guess I'm as much a pastor as anybody else. Don't call me pastor. I'm just a guy. I got my own life. I got to mow grass. Nothing special about me. Dive into the Bible yourself. Learn to get victory yourself. Quit trusting and counting on a man. It's like having a doctor on constant call. I got to call my pastor. How old are you? Huh? You got to call your pastor? I love pastors. Don't get me wrong. But we have taken that office of the body and we've accentuated that far beyond what it should be. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say either oh me or oh my. I don't care which one you say because I am right over the top of it. Now it makes us all feel uncomfortable to say that. But we go back, look at the video. Robert Jeffers, thanking God that we have a vaccine. Robert Jeffers, Pat Robertson. Really? Say, well, coach, they've done a lot of good things. Well, I'm sure they have. So did Bugsy Malone. So did Scarface. Did a lot of good things. He fed a lot of families, stole a bunch of money, killed a lot of people, fed a lot of families, did a lot of good stuff, right? Oh, man. I got so much. Whew. I'll shut up for a minute because they're stacking up. I want to give you all a chance to be able to get in here. I'm going to piggyback on fear again today. Bear with it. Go on in, Jeff. You're the first guy in, then Larry.
Well, coach, just real quick. Last night I got home from church in the garage, got a text from my sister, which my sister's a nurse. She's woke to all this stuff. She's telling people don't get seen. She's listening to Sherry Tenpenny, frontline doctor. She's had this discussion with my mom and my stepdad about the vaccine. They took it. He had that surgery about a year and a half ago. And Dr. City is such great health at 84. They do that surgery on him. It was probably not done on most 84-year-olds. All of a sudden, now he took the vaccine. He's been losing his memory. Yesterday, he couldn't find Southside Diner. He's out driving his car and doing things. I'm farming. But he couldn't find Southside Diner, the restaurant. Then when he did find the place, he couldn't find his credit card. Then he didn't even know what his key was to his car. Didn't know what a key was. Last night, she texted me about 10 o'clock. He's in the hospital at KCH having multiple strokes.
Oh, my Lord.
He's bed at Riverside. They're going to fly him over, take him over last night in the middle of the night. And now my mom is scared. Now she's starting to listen. It's like you took the jabs. You know, so just pray for me and Cassie today. We're going to deal with this and just we're going to stand and tell these people. And we got to tell my mom, you got to repent. You need to repent.
Folks, is that some of your greatest frustration? The people that you know and love who will not listen to you? They will not listen to you. It's amazing. Listen, folks, look, are you looking at me? Why would people who I know and love and trust me listen to Dr. Fauci rather than me? Can somebody explain that to me? Why would they do that? When they know I care about them. I care about them. And I was reading three different things I read this morning. I'm not going to put it up here because I don't want to make it about vaccines. Friends, it's irrevocable. It is irrevocable. If you've taken the vaccine, your life has just been shortened. It might be a year. It might be 5 years, whatever. Your life has just been shortened. How do we deal with that? What do you say to somebody? Jeff said, tell them to repent. But hey, the Lord isn't going to heal them just because you repented. He could, but we just can't. Say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Sorry, Lord. Because, folks, there are physical, natural consequences to sin. Natural consequences. I can go out and sleep with some girl, get that girl after sleeping with her and pray, Lord, oh, Lord, please don't let her get pregnant. Good luck. Good luck. Oh, Lord, please don't let my wife find out. Good luck. You think the Lord's going to cover sin for you? Going to cover up the consequences of sin? Violate his own. He ain't going to do that, friends. Not going to violate his own principles. You reap what you sow. Fred, Pastor Fred told us that, right? That's a law. You reap what you sow. Come on in, Larry. Then Paul Webb.
Yeah, you know, it'd probably take a better Bible scholar than I am, but doesn't it say somewhere that obedience is the highest form of praise?
I don't know, but it is, right? I would say it is, Larry, right? And those same people who are in there waving flags, open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. Run on, get a vaccine.
Yeah, I appreciate the beautiful music and everything that's been written for the body of Christ, but what I don't appreciate, and I've had this happen to me multiple times over the decades, is pastors, preachers, praise leaders, whoever you want to call them, that have a really good gift, I believe, from God to create good sounding stuff. They have actually told me I can't possibly be a true leader in the church because I don't have musical ability.
Folks, listen, I want you to know this, folks. I will never, ever, ever, I give you my word, I will never, ever purposefully try to, what's the word I'm looking for? I'll never try to purposely influence you for my own gain. I promise you, I give you my word, I'll never do that. I will never, ever do that. Try to influence you for my own personal gain, my own personal advantage. I will never do that. And I'm going to tell you something that's going on in our pulpits, folks. It's going on in our pulpits. And that's why I feel sometimes like I'm playing the same show over and over again. Anybody else feel that way? This all needs to be, I'm going somewhere. Paul Webb, Dale, Joe, go.
Hey, Coach, there's so many things I can comment on, but a couple things. First of all, what you said about praise and worship, that's exactly what it is. Praise is, to me, it's a physical thing. Right. Worship is what you do in your daily life.
That's right, Paul.
And for many years, I was a part of the Broadway show.
Amen.
That happens every Sunday.
Amen,
and
brother.
I've done more ministry in the few years that I've been with you, Coach, than I did when I was in 25 years on the Broadway show.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Folks, listen, here's the word I was looking for. I couldn't find manipulation. I'll never manipulate you. I'll never manipulate you. Try to get money from you. If you want to, I'll tell you a need. And if you want to do it, you do it, but I'm not going to try to emotionally manipulate you and do that. How about this? When you go to the church, why do they do the praise and worship first? I'll tell you why they do the praise and worship first, because they want to get you emotionally into it, right? What's Chad Estes say? Your emotions will betray you. Oh, they got to get you in there, and they got to get the smoke gone and the lights gone and music gone, and oh, you're feeling good, and then they can manipulate you. Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on in, Dale.
Yay, glory, brother. Doesn't happen at the King Jesus Ministry, brother. We enter in with a half hour of prayer. Most people don't, they can't handle that. They want to leave.
Yeah.
But anyway, Coach, going back to what is praise and worship, you know, Larry is talking about, you know, Micah chapter 3:8 says, what is it the Lord requireth of thee? To do justice. That's a verb.
I'm sorry, did I lose you? Dale, we can't hear you. Joe Allen, come on in.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't trying to cut you off. Cut yourself off. Go ahead.
Okay, one last scripture. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed, another verb, and in truth. In other words, it's not like Ted Turner who will feed people in Africa. The deed is in our truth. The truth is what leads us to our deed.
Amen, brother. Amen. You'll know them by their fruit. You won't know them by their praise and worship. You won't know how many flags they wave in the sanctuary. You're not going to know them by how wonderful their prayers are. And they stand up publicly and they're great orators. So you're not going to know them by that. You're going to know them by fruit. What is fruit? Well, something's tangible that you can look at and touch, right? Right? Not emotions. Know them by their fruit. Show me some fruit. Where's the beef? Come on in, Joe. Then Jeff.
If you have any medical people in your family, I've been getting reports about inner sutures that you, when you have surgery, if you've had a COVID-19 shot, that they were eating up the sutures from surgery.
Unbelievable, Joseph. Hey, you know something, Joseph? I'm almost through talking about it. Listen, how many people do you know right now who've already taken it? They've already taken it. Why do we continue to tell them what's going to happen? It's like your mom said, you keep eating that, you're going to get fat. And then you get fat, right? And then you have to go on a diet and lose the weight. But see, you can't go on a diet and lose the weight on this thing, right? So I don't want to continue to pound that. Jeff, your hand's still up. Did you want to get back in? No.
Yeah.
Rochelle, come on in. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. I got to get my sermon in here today.
Good morning, team. I'll see
you down in Tennessee, right, Rochelle?
Yes, you will.
All right, dear.
Good. Very excited. Regarding praise and worship, it talks over and over in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It would tell the priest to bind God's word on their head and arm and hand, just like the beast in Revelation has his fake mark on your head and forehead and hand. But these don't have to be actual marks. These are what you're thinking about and what you're doing. That's your mark. That's how you praise him, by taking every thought captive, running it through a biblical worldview, doing what you know God wants you to do. And then that's how your thoughts are. And then it transfers to your actions. That's true praise and worship.
Amen. Amen. And again, look at me. I love pastors. But the office of pastor has been turned on its head. We ask our pastors to do things that a man should never be asked to do. A pastor, well, you know what I'm saying, right? And so Bible says this, that they heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, if those big churches are big, there's a reason why. I'm going to tell you this. If those big churches are big, it's because there ain't much being asked of them. Because if you're being asked to do something, you're probably going to hit the highway and find a place where they don't ask you to do anything. So if you are asked, oh, man. You know where I am today, right? It grieves me. It grieves me what's passing as Christianity today. And not that I'm the perfect Christian. I'm far from it. I'm just forgiven. Come on, Roger. Don't tell me
I
that,
was just
Red.
Say,
Hank, go ahead, Roger. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, Dave, I think your discussion on pastors today is tied into so many. Isn't it about some balance? You know, I don't go to church regularly now, a couple times a month with my wife.
Yes, you do. You You come here every day.
Okay. But my point is, to me, so much of what we've covered over the years is this idea of balance, some balance in our faith. I don't mind going to church and saying hello to my pastor and listening if he's got something, but I don't rely on that. I think 75 or 80% of the people in the pew, that's all they're getting one time a week. That is it. And that's a big problem. But I don't, you know, I miss Sunday school class every once in a while, having the coffee and the donuts and having somebody, you know, take us through. I miss some of that. But to me, it's the issue of balance, that there are so many people that are going to listen to a person. That's it. That is all they are doing.
That's right. And Roger, you only miss Sunday school because you like to sit around and chew the fat with people and drink coffee.
Dave, there's some truth to that. You know,
there's a lot of truth.
I miss some of the fellowship that I get here in the morning. The problem here is I've got a friend in Texas and a friend in California.
Yeah.
But I do miss some of that fellowship, even as spiritually meaningless as it might have been. I do miss that at times.
Amen. And should. We all should. Bless you, man. Okay, I'm going to shift gears here. Can I do that? I'm looking at this. Did I want to show that? Hey, Spencer, we watched that video of that cartoon. That was on the website, Fakeologist. Pull that website up for people so they can see that real quick. Fakeologist. It was right on the video. Yeah, see, you can click right there, right down below, buddy. Right down below, it says fakeologist.com. There you go. So check this website out, guys. Now it says fakeologist. Go down and says, well, click here. And this is pretty cool. This is just a series of different videos, information. Scroll down through it, Spencer. I haven't spent a whole lot of time on it. I just found it this morning. Fakeologist. We're being told lies, friends. We're being told lies. So make you aware of that, fakeologist.com. Stick that in the chat for everybody so they can check that thing out. Fakeologist. Wow. Okay. Let's kind of double back to where we were. I got so much stuff. Let's double back to where we were yesterday, Spence, because I didn't get a chance to get this in. Yesterday we were talking about spirits, spirit realm, testing the spirits, spirit of fear. And I came across this website. Now, listen, and with some of these things that I bring to you, I haven't really dug in deep and checked the theology, but I like these kind of websites because they make me think. I take some of it with a grain of salt, but it made me think. So click on types of spirits. Types of spirits. Again, I don't know anything about this website. I liked it because it made me begin to think. And can you make us a little, yeah, there you go, buddy. Make it a little bit larger. Says this is a list of spirits that we've come across on actual deliverances. I don't know who these people are, okay? It's not exhaustive and will add to the list over time. It's not meant to be a 101 of demonology because freedom and deliverance comes from focusing on Jesus Christ. But this is the list. This list is meant to help identify things which we need to cut out of our souls with the sword of the spirits in accordance with Hebrews 4, verse 12, issuing the following command. Tells you how to bind them. Okay, so here's a list of spirits. I thought this was pretty good. There's a spirit of abandonment. And then we get this spirit from parents, ex-spouses, relatives. How many, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you are carrying issues from a divorce, previous relationship? Abandonment. This creates a strong sense of rejection, which leads to anger, hatred, fight or flight response, and fear. A spirit of abandonment. And it talks about the Kundalini spirit. I'm not going to go down through that, but who's in the Kundalini spirit? Oh, yeah, there's Kenneth Copeland and all that. Then there's the spirit of, listen, we'll put this in the chat so you can check it all out later, okay? Then there's a spirit of an abomination, and it's related to the Luciferian spirit. Leviathan, aka the marine spirit, the strong spirit, spirit of pride, stubbornness, double-mindedness, ignoring God's will, haughtiness, feeling entitled, claiming. Hang on. Look at me. Y'all look at me. Why do some of you get offended so easily? Why do you immediately believe the worst about people? Why do you immediately think somebody's got bad motives? Could that be a spirit from rejection, things that we've had, right? How quickly some people get mad, take things the wrong way. Addictions. So the spirits of addiction. It says legion, about 7,000 demons normally attached to cursed objects such as magic, the gathering cards, tarot cards, yada, 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 yada. Addictions. Addictions is a spirit. It's a spirit. Every one of you could quit smoking, Jeff. Every one of you could. Every one of you could. Adultery. Spirit of adultery. Separation, divorce without cause. Divorce due to cheating spouse. Unbelieving spouses. It can also be adultery in the heart through sexual fantasies. Leads to lies. Lucifer, Jezebel, music. The Ahab Akafir, fear of many things, including fear of loneliness, not being good enough, failure, fear of going to hell, dying, of demons. It comes from being rejected, traumatized, abandoned when you're young. Ahab fear makes a person turn a blind eye to sins, passive, get dominated by Jezebels. Oh my goodness, that's good stuff, isn't it?
Amen.
Huh? Did you ever look in your own life and think, wow, I've done this. I've read this today. So, ooh, here's me. Whoops, there I am. Whoops. Now, look, not that I'm possessed by a spirit, but it's a familiar spirit. It came on us maybe at an earlier time, at an earlier age. I don't care who you are. If you've had if you're in a second marriage or a third marriage, folks, you got wounding. You got wounding. There's nothing more intimate than the marriage relationship. When the marriage relationship breaks off, you mean to tell me you're going to break that? What God has joined together? You're going to rip that apart and not have wounding from it and carry it on into your next relationship and actually have it be a mindset, take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and have that impact you the rest of your life? Lilith, oh my goodness, I'm over here on the right side. Self-centered, self-reliant, self-focused, self-will, self-pity, self-conscious, narcissism. Some stare at self in the mirror for long periods, the way you dress, all that stuff. This could be a spirit. Not that there's a spirit behind every tree, but these things are influences. Go on to the next one. Slide on down. It's good. I'm going to stop here in a minute. Let you get anger. Oh, my goodness. Anger, rage, wrath can appear as a bear in dreams. It calls itself a bear. It can also be a kangaroo. Lust. Fornication, porn, masturbation, sexual fantasy, sex, these all come about as a result of spirit of anger. Also, and also experiencing sleep paralysis. That's something, that's a whole other thing. And it tells you kings how to rebuke it. Going down for a couple more, then we'll shift over. Anxiety, spirit of anxiety. Raise your hand if you're dealing with that. No, you don't have to. You have panic attacks. You make vows and promises to people using human strength. Fear. That's all New Age is bringing a lot of that stuff in. Aliens, Lucifer, Beelzebub. Then you have maliciousness, evil thoughts. I'm going to get him. I'm never going to talk to him again. I know that coach. I know coach is taking that money. Evil thoughts that you just conjure up because of past woundings. It's these spirits, familiar spirits that come in. It's good stuff, isn't it? Azazel is depression, loneliness, heaviness, isolation. My wife every once in a while will say to me, I've had a heaviness on me all day. I've had a heaviness. That's a spirit, folks. It's a spirit. Not she's not possessed, but this familiar spirit comes down. Something will trigger it. Something happens in the world. Something happens in a relationship, a phone call, something happens. Next thing you know, there's that familiar spirit. And do we recognize it and say that familiar spirit? Get out of here. Jesus' name, got no right here. Get out of here. Right? You with me? A couple more and then we'll be done. Flat on down, Spence. Baphomet, Beelzebub, blasphemy. See, Baphomet leads to mind control. Beelzebub leads to a strong man spirit, enters performances, musicals, acting, singing, celebrity worship, listening to a lot of romance, rock music, all that stuff. That's Beelzebub. That's a strong man coming in and trying to, oh, Lord, help me out here. There's blasphemy singing. Music. One more down, Spence. Bitterness. Oh, my goodness. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Bitterness? None of you carrying that around, I bet, huh?
Ouch.
Huh? Boy, how's it manifest? One manifests into pain, headache, migraines. How about this? Confusion. Once saved, always saved. A false teaching that covers all future sins can be caused by religious spirits. Okay, I'm going to put this in the chat. Again, I don't know the theology behind this, but I started reading down through that. I said, boy, this makes a lot of sense. This makes a lot of sense. And I see it in my own life. The Apostle Paul said, daggone, things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So please understand, folks, that it's like a mosquito. I'll use this illustration. You're not possessed by spirits, but you're bitten by them. They buzz around and bite you. Something comes up. Some experience happens during your daily walk, and it reminds you of something, and boop, there comes that mosquito bite. Next thing you know, that mosquito bite's impacting you, and we need to be aware of these things. Take captive every thought. Exalt yourself against the knowledge. Why am I angry? Do you ever ask yourself that? Why are you angry? There's nothing that makes me mad. I'm confessing now. Nothing makes me madder than fixing broken machinery. I am in a rage in about 28 seconds because I'm so frustrated because I can't do it. Now, what is that spirit that comes? You know what? I remember when I was 10 years old, 11 years old. I have it in my dad and I standing out right beside our garage under the tree. I can see the picture standing right now. First time I ever heard my dad cuss when the lawnmower wouldn't start. You son of a buck. That's the word he was. You son of a buck. He kicked it and flipped it. I do it. I do the same thing when I'm trying to fix the mower. Rather than before I get work on, say, Lord, direct me here. Show me which screw connects to which switch. Will you help me out here, Lord? Right? Because it's little mosquitoes. Bernie, and then Craig, come on in.
Okay. Yeah, Coach, I noticed that CRT and even feminism is all based on the root of bitterness. They tell them lies, and then you have to think about everybody else and this presupposition that they're bad.
That's right. Preconceived notions, right, Bernie? That mosquito comes by and bites you on the arm, and the next thing you're scratching that itch.
People tell you that. Remember my son was going through a line, and my brother told him, he says, hey, your piece isn't as big as that other person's piece. And he's like you're getting cheated. And I'm like, what are you doing? Mm. Now you can't appreciate his piece of pie.
Can't even appreciate.
Fine, but now you sowed that thought into him. He's got to think about everybody else's.
So, Bernie, everybody, can you imagine the spirits that are being sown into through critical race theory? Can you imagine what's being sowed into the lives of young people? Anger, bitterness, jealousy. Ain't none of that good. Ain't none of it good. And we're teaching it in our schools, for heaven's sakes. Were you done, Bernie?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Basically, and the solution is unforgiveness. But everybody's wanting wrath instead of forgiveness. And I'm like, dude, your church is so off topic. I mean, look, if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. All right. You got to face that.
That's right.
All right. And they're making people not forgive.
So Bernie, that's why they says take captive every thought, right? It exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you get that thought and say, Lord, is that of you? Is that thought of you? Because that's the mosquito bites. The thoughts of the mosquito bites, friends.
I had a book in my bookstore. It wasn't a good book, but it had a really good title. The title was worth the price of the book. It was called Tell Yourself the Truth.
Well, that gets you in trouble, won't it? Yeah. Bless you, Bernie. Come on, okay, Craig. Come on, Craig, then Paul. Go ahead, Craig. Hey, hang on. Hey, Craig, I appreciate you more than you know, brother. I want you to know that I appreciate you. Go ahead.
You know, Coach, when you had your job and you failed, you put a team on, right? You only had certain players on the field. You had a bunch of them sitting back waiting, right? And this is what happens in the demonic realm. that you would play the game, and then you're like, somebody might have been sitting for three quarters of the game, and then you're like, oh, this guy needs to come in for this particular play, you know, because it's the right time. This is the spiritual realm.
Yes, sir.
The spiritual realm has a bunch of people sitting on the benches. Mm. And see, they algorithm our personalities, see, because they've been around man for almost 6,000 years. See, they know your personality, Coach. They yes. know what your personality bought 500 years ago. Oh, he hooks on that one. I'll throw this spirit on him.
There you go.
So what's really important is to realize what these different spirits are. Understand where your strengths are. They're not going to send a spirit where you're strong in. They're going to send the spirit where you're weak in.
Oh, brother, that's good, Craig. And listen, folks, rather than always trying to figure out what that spirit is, just exalt Christ above it and tell it that it has to leave. Now, hey, look.
And Coach, one more thing.
Go ahead.
Study your weaknesses. Know where you're weak. And then you'll be able to understand.
Yeah, that's right. So in other words, Craig, I shouldn't be fixing any lawnmowers, right?
Yeah, let Mark Trump do that one.
Yeah, that's right. Right. So again, the point being, this is hard, okay? Listen now. We're to take captive every thought. We are to present our bodies living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. It has to do with your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, right? But be ye transformed. How? By the way you think, by the renewing of your mind. So when you find yourself into one of these areas where you're angry, bitter, jealous, just stop for a minute and say, Lord, where's this coming from? What? Why am I feeling this way, Lord? I don't want to feel like this. Why am I feeling this way? Because remember, with the scripture we talked about yesterday, test the spirits. Where's this coming from, Lord? Hey, Lord, am I going to that church because it makes me feel good? Lord, am I going to that church because they don't ask anything of me? Lord, am I not going to the abortion clinic because I'm wounded about my own abortion? Lord, you with me, folks? And so those little mosquitoes out there are just buzzing and buzzing and biting you every once in a while, get you distracted and start scratching. I say that to Michelle all the time. She says it to me. Anybody been married 41 years, you'll get this, right? I'm her easy attack target. Boy, when she gets mad, whoo, she comes at me. Boy, when I get mad, whoo, I go to her. Even if she didn't have anything to do with it, I got to have somebody yell at, right? Because we know this thing that's come upon us isn't of us. We don't want it. What do we do with it? Take captive the thought. Acknowledge Christ. Bring it into captivity through the obedience of Christ. Come on in, Paul, then Tony.
Coach. Great stuff.
I ought to charge for it, Paul. I ought to be charging for it.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's awesome stuff. And really, basically, like I've said before, the world has a better understanding of spiritual realm than the church does. I mean, like you take critical race theory, you take feminism, all these things. What it teaches you to say, hey, you're a woman, you should be mad at all men. For yeah. why?
Or you're white, you should feel like you're superior to blacks. Blacks, you should feel inferior. And here's why. It just, they have a better understanding of principles than we do. And it's just.
Well, not only, hey, Paul, not only that, the devil is teaching our kids this. The devil yeah. is implanting in our children all of these spirits, right? That's what's going on in school. They're yeah. indoctrinating them into these spirits. They don't even know.
Yeah. Amen. It
needs to be destroyed.
It needs to be destroyed. That's right. It needs to be destroyed. Tony, come on in.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned a lot of different things that kind of fit my thoughts about the special play. Let's throw this guy in. You know, most people have parasites and don't even realize it. There's so many ways they can come in. Next thing you know, you're taking some type of antiparasitic and wow, it all comes out. Well, the thing is, Hollywood, they like to deceive us. They come out with a movie like The Exorcist and they think, well, if I have a spiritual parasite, I'm going to act like that girl. My head's going to twist around and I'm going to be spitting out, split pea soup. No, we have spiritual parasites, whether we let them in or they came in through the generations, and they look for that play to throw this one to this, you know, to the forefront, or that one to the forefront. You know, I've been trying to get you to, or anybody to look at my videos, because it exposes all that when I had my purge. And it's you know, it's a pride thing. Oh, I can't have a spiritual parasite. No, not me. I'm holy, you know? Well, yeah. I was pretty holy too, but I was amazed at the junk that came out of me.
Yeah, I ain't holy. I try to be, but I ain't holy. If I'm holy, it's only through the blood of Jesus that I'm holy. Spencer, we're about out of time. Pull up for me again that video of Carlos at the beginning, because I want you to watch, friends. This is programming, okay? This is programming. I want that lawyer back up, Spence. Okay, you're getting it. And I want you to listen. We're going to listen about another minute and a half of this thing and listen to the programming, to the spirit behind this guy and the mosquitoes he's releasing into other people. Go ahead.
Not only LAPD, but also white supremacists. First, we have Vishal Singh, who is a journalist who was documenting what was going on at Wee Spa and had his hand fractured by a deadly and violent baton strike by one LAPD officer who targeted Vishal Singh, who is someone who documents and holds these officers accountable. You will also hear from Jessica, who was struck by a deadly projectile in the ass. She was struck by a deadly projectile in the butt, and she was hit by batons in her arm, and she's here today courageously speaking up against what happened at the Wee Spa protest. And you also have here Alejandro, who was stabbed 3 different times by white supremacists who were being protected by LAPD. And not only being protected, taking orders by these white supremacists. White supremacists.
Okay, stop a second. Do you guys get the mosquito? Do you hear the mosquito? Anybody hear the mosquito? White supremacists. White supremacists. White supremacists. White supremacists, right? So you mean to tell me they don't have an agenda? Certainly there's an agenda, right? And so now what's everybody else saying? Well, hey, Carlos, these weren't white supremacists, right? You were there. You ain't white. Oh, my goodness. So we have to understand how these mosquitoes are let into our lives. And we love to listen to things that we agree with. Randy, quickly.
Coach, this is their reaction to the sheriff in L.A. County saying, I will not enforce the mask. That's all it is. Reaction and trying to take down and not let us get any momentum.
That's right. That's right. Coming right at us, right in the face. Emma, come on in.
Latinos are considered white. Sorry, but it is true.
George Zimmerman was one, wasn't he? George Zimmerman was a white Hispanic.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Right. Wow. See, so you understand? You understand the spiritual game that's being played, and understand how we have to prepare ourselves to be able to fight back against this stuff. Folks, we cannot take the bait. We can't take the bait. And ask yourself this real simple question. You listening? Why am I so jealous? Why am I so jealous? Because we all fight that, man. We all fight that. Do I rejoice when Jeff Klein gets a blessing? God, I hope I do. I hope I do. Do I rejoice when John Diamond gets to sit in for Alan Keyes, even though everybody knows I ought to be the guy doing it? Do I rejoice for John Diamond? I hope I do. I hope, but we don't, do we? Because those are mosquitoes of pride and other things that have entered into it. So many of the problems that we are dealing with, my friends, aren't demonic possession, but demonic mosquito bites. Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity. This is so simple, but so hard, right? Test the spirits. God bless you. See you tomorrow.